Let's have a little condensed time tonight, but that's okay because the Lord knows what he's doing, and this is his church, not mine, so I don't want to get in his way. First Thessalonians chapter 5 tonight. You've heard Brother Jeff say this, you've heard me say this, probably others say this, that the Christian life is not just difficult, it's impossible to live. And sometimes that leaves us, if we only hear that much of it, that leaves us wondering then, how do we live the Christian life and what's the point? How do we proceed through it? Brother Jeff was talking about the idea of yielding this morning in Sunday school class. What does it mean to yield? And he had a very appropriate background on his slide of someone waving a white flag. A white flag of what? What do we call it? A white flag of surrender. Surrender. Folks, sometimes the Christian life is needlessly burdensome when we try to do it ourselves. We're going to talk just for a moment here about sanctification. This verse is about sanctification, and just to be real fast with it, there are three parts to sanctification. The first part is positional sanctification. When you are saved, when you become justified in the sight of God, the Bible says you're sanctified. You're set apart as a special child of God. You're set apart for a purpose, to be used by Him. You're His. Okay, you're sanctified. But then there's progressive sanctification. When you read sanctification, it's the same word as holiness. Same exact word in the Greek. Okay, so it's holiness. You are holy in the sight of God in Christ. He accepts you. You're accepted in the Beloved. But we know that our lives don't always show holiness, don't always display holiness. And that's because after you're saved, though you are sanctified in the sight of God positionally, practically on earth, what we would say horizontally, our relationships in this world, our life, our lifestyle, that's a continual lifelong process of holiness. And that's going to be a pursuit from day one that you're saved until the day you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it comes to the work of sanctification, there's two angles from which to view it, like salvation. Okay, when we think of salvation, Jesus says no one can come except the Father draw him. All right, there's that aspect. There's the God view of it, God's work of salvation. But then what does the Bible say? Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's the human part of it. So you have God's work in it and our work in it. And we don't need to understand how they mesh necessarily together. We just know that they do because God's word says so. It's the same thing in sanctification, in holiness. There is an aspect of holiness that God must do. And there's an aspect of holiness which is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to yield ourselves as instruments of righteousness. I'll mention that in a little bit. But if Romans 6 through 8 is the most exhaustive section on holiness for the Christian. Sadly, many Christians aren't familiar with Romans 6 through 8, aren't familiar with what it teaches. What was the reader that was used in America forever? Say it, yes. The what? The McCuffrey. Am I saying that right? That doesn't sound right in my head, but yes. The reader, that was the, you know, that was the one that was used. That was the basis and everything that, at least too bad they should have stuck with it, but, that was kind of like the line to follow that everything built off of. Romans 6 through 8 is that for the Christian in understanding holiness. And, Lord willing, in January, I think God's gonna have me preach through that. Alright, so our responsibility is to yield. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's the human aspect of sanctification, of saying, Lord, you saved me, you bought me, you delivered me from sin, I am yours, do with me what you will. There's the first step of sanctification that needs to take place in our lives is the idea, the aspect of surrender. Lord, you saved me, I will no longer live for myself. Because you didn't save me to live for myself, you delivered me from myself and my sinfulness. Lord, I am now yours. I am turning my back on the world, on sin, and on the devil. I'm turning my back on all that is against you. And now, Lord, I am going to follow, by your grace, I'm going to follow after you. What is that going to look like? And how is that accomplished? Now, I just was very overly simplistic in what I said. There's so much more, but hopefully that gels in your mind. F.B. Meyer wrote this, and this summarizes the verses we'll look at. God is faithful and will never fail the soul that dares to be all that He wills. Let me read that again. God is faithful and will never fail the soul that dares to be all He wills. Let me read it this way. God is faithful and will never fail the soul that surrenders all to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 23 and 24. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. God promises to perform His work of holiness in the hearts of those who absolutely surrender to Him. Sanctification, holiness, is something that should affect every single part of our life. One thing that's very sad to me is that holiness is such a hot topic with people. And one reason that's sad is because look who does the sanctifying in the work of holiness in our hearts. The very God of peace. Part of the reason holiness is so difficult to us is because we're not surrendered to the God of peace. We're not peaceful with the God of peace. We try to preserve our lives. We try to preserve areas of our lives. We try to hang on to sinful habits that we know are wrong and we justify them no matter how much it's preached about. No matter how much we see it in the Word, we justify it somehow. That's fighting the God of peace. But now I present it from a negative standpoint. Let's look at it from a positive standpoint. The God of peace, the one who wants you to surrender all to Him, is the God of peace. Peace. And if you want to know the God of peace, if you want to know God as the God of peace in your life, stop fighting Him. Surrender to Him. So, you can ask yourself three quick questions. Who's doing the work? Okay, the very God of peace. He's the one that's doing this work. What is His work? Sanctifying you, making you holy. I really, if we had time, we'd go to Romans 6, 11 through 14 for you to see this. The work of sanctification, again, we have to emphasize the whole part of holiness. Holiness is not just what I don't do. Holiness is going to include every part of my being. Some people say they're holy because they go to church, and that's not holiness. Some people say they're holy because they're saved. Well, yes, positionally they're holy, but that doesn't mean they're holy in their lifestyle. Holiness is when I turn my back. I still love the marital phrase, when I forsake all others to cleave to that one. And I'm growing and pursuing my wife. I'm pursuing that love the rest of my life. I want to love her more. I want to please her more. And I've forsaken all others. It's the same in the Christian life. I've forsaken all that held me captive when I was in sin. I want to forsake, I want to put off those sins that creep up in my life. I want to turn my back on them and be growing in my devotion to the Lord. And that's a work that God is willing to do if you'll surrender to Him. What does it look like? Well, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those new things, those changes in your life, that's holiness taking place in your life. And what extent? What is the extent of His work? He wants to sanctify you holy. He wants to make you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, holy, H-O-L-Y. He wants to sanctify you in every area. In Isaiah chapter 6, I was reading this past week, I think it was, and it was just, I'd never really thought on it before, but Isaiah has the vision of the Lord Jesus high and lifted up, and it says His train filled the temple. And why I have to be careful here, because that was a literal physical picture that he saw, but spiritually, folks, we're the temple of God. Oh, that His holiness would fill our temples. How far does God want you to be holy? We said, holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Well, what does that include? And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that man being created in the image of God is a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. There are some that disagree with me. They're called a dichotomist. They merge spirit and soul. But I believe the picture is just like the picture of the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, body, soul, and spirit. I personally believe that. But the point is this, whether you're a trichotomist or dichotomist, whatever, the point is this, is that God wants every single part of you to be consecrated to Him. Every single part of you. Folks, holiness affects every area of our lives. Men, it's going to affect the way you talk to your wife. Because until you're talking to your wife the way the Lord Jesus Christ would talk to you, or the way the Lord Jesus Christ talks to His church, until you have that love coming out in your words, you've still got growth and holiness to go. Ladies, the way you submit to your husband, okay? Until you're surrendering the way God expects the church to submit to Him, until then, you've still got growth and holiness. And we all do, don't we? But that's just one area. Every single area of our life is to be affected by holiness. God wants to sanctify us Body, soul, and spirit. Body? Yes, body. The way we clothe ourselves, the way we eat, the way we, every area. God wants to sanctify us because we belong to Him. Body, soul, and spirit. Even, folks, our affections, especially our affections for the Lord. And I think that's probably the key one. If we would just love the Lord our God with all our hearts and have nothing reserved against Him. Young people, if you love the Lord with all your heart, you won't have a struggle with what video games to play and what movies you watch and what books you read. Not just young people. You wouldn't have any problem if you love the Lord your God with all your heart. Because holiness is going to touch our affections. God wants to sanctify our entire lives. That's why Paul said, folks, I am crucified with Christ. Okay, that means all that I like, everything about me is crucified with Christ. And we're to take up that cross how often? Daily. We're to leave self behind. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live. Tell me, what part of you does the word life encompass? Every single part, does it not? And so the life that I now live in the flesh, or in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That means absolute surrender. Lord, I'm yours. My life is yours. And now I'm going to live for you. There is not any part of our lives to be reserved for ourselves. You know, I've heard Christians say, well, and Brother Jeff alluded to it with the from the play last week of what's his name, Grandpa Billing having his dominoes night. That's my night. No prayer meeting, we have my night. Well, folks, in the Christian life, we've been bought with a price. God's our master. And so the idea of having my time, not in God's book. Not in God's book. And yet we selfishly do that, don't we? I find that in my own life. How long will God's work of sanctification take place? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. John, 1 John 3, 1 through 3 talks about the Lord returning and says, He that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. There's that holiness, sanctification. Now you say, okay, wow, this is kind of burdensome. How could I do this? All you need to do is surrender. The first step, the major step, is surrender. Saying, Lord, I recognize I am yours, not mine. Lord, sanctify me. Make me holy in every area. And look what He promises. Verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, Hebrews talks about pursuing holiness. Yes, there's that aspect too, but you're not going to grow in holiness if you're first not surrendered to it. And recognizing ownership, surrendering to your new master. Look at this though. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. It sounds kind of like Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you surrendered to the work of the Lord in your life? Are you open to what He wants to do? Are you willing to go under the hammer on the anvil for the Lord to shape you? He'll do it. He's willing. Again, F.B. Meyer, God is faithful, will never fail the soul that dares to be all He wills. God promises to work His work of holiness in the hearts of those who absolutely surrender to Him. Let me ask you this in closing. But my prayer is this, is that the Holy Spirit, I know we really, we'll leave it here. But maybe the Holy Spirit's putting that longing in your heart tonight for holiness. Where you're recognizing, you know, yes, I'm here at church and I attend services and I read my Bible, and but I've not surrendered all. There are certain areas of my life, my time, my body, my affections, my habits. There's some things that I've never really realized, hey, that's actually, all of me belongs to the Lord, not just part. Folks, I believe that God would do a great work through this church. I believe He'll do a great work through any Christian who will absolutely surrender to Him. But my main burden tonight is for you to see that He's the one that'll do it. And if there's that longing in your heart, then when we pray tonight, I'd encourage you, just simply say, Lord, make me willing to surrender to You. Lord, if there's an area in my life, let me see it and help me to surrender that to You. Maybe you're absolutely cold-hearted and this means nothing to you. That should bother you. And you may look at this and say, not me. That's a dangerous place to be. And you need to ask the Lord, Lord, you should recognize this as a problem right away and say, Lord, there's something wrong. Lord, show me what it is. Lord, help me with this. He's willing to show us. Faithful is He that calleth you who also will do it. Something that encouraged my heart is, as I've been also listening to the same book that Brother Jeff's been reading, Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. Great book. Most of Andrew Murray's writings are. One thing that blessed my heart from this specific passage was the aspect that, Lord, I'm willing to surrender all, but it just seems like it won't happen. It seems like, you know, I'll get excited about a message I heard or something like that, and we fall back because we think it's up to us to do it. Instead of claiming this promise, Lord, you said You'd be faithful if I surrendered. Lord, I surrender all. Sanctify me. It encouraged my heart. My father, who's been in ministry for 30-some years, he and I were talking just recently, and he said, I'm praying for a sanctified heart. Praying for a sanctified heart. And what encouraged me is that we'd been praying together and didn't realize it. But we've been praying about the same thing. Are you afraid to pray that tonight? Are you afraid that, Lord, if I surrender all, how's that going to end up? What's that going to look like? Are you afraid of what God will do? Are you afraid of the God of peace? Are you afraid of the God who loves you that much? Loves you so much He gave His Son for you? Are you afraid that He'll somehow lead you into misery? I can tell you, the most miserable Christians are the ones that don't surrender. He's promised to do it. Are you willing to surrender? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we have the pure, simple truth here. You want us holy, holy, completely holy. You want us holy through and through. Father, I pray that we'd withhold nothing from You tonight. And I'm asking You, Lord, would Your Holy Spirit tonight, would You through Your Holy Spirit speak specifically, not just in general? Maybe there's some that in general need to just surrender to You, but Perhaps there's some specific areas that need to be surrendered tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us simply trust your word tonight. Yield ourselves as instruments in your hands to be used by you, to stand up at your beck and call, to speak when you say speak, to love you with the affections of our hearts, and to follow hard after you. Oh Lord, do this work in our hearts, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name for His glory.